Second Chronicles chapter 20. Let's stand in reverence to God's word if you can. If you can't, that's all right. The Lord knows why you ain't standing. Amen. Chapter 20 of Second Chronicles, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazontamar, which is in Gedi." It's easier just to say in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask of the Lord, help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities and of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God, our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we thank you for us being able to be here this morning. Ask you to open our hearts and minds to your word. Help us, Lord, to see the what you would have us to gain the knowledge that you're in control of all things and that the battle is yours. And Lord, that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can have everlasting life. And not only that, but that's where our strength comes from. And Lord, we ask that today that you would look upon us, ask you to hide me behind that cross. It is not about me. It's about Jesus, and to give me the boldness to say what needs to be said. And Lord, that we'll be attentive and that we'll take it in and that we will use it for your honor and your glory. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I titled this Press On. And there's a reason behind that. Israel had some issues coming. They had some super guys that really it'd have been nice if they could have destroyed them to start with. Jehoshaphat brings this to the Lord's memory like he needed that. But nonetheless, he spoke about it and he said, you know, we had the opportunity to do away with it and we, for whatever reason, weren't allowed to. And now look at what they're doing. They're coming at us with all these problems. When I read this, I read about our world, our nation that we live in. There's been over a period of years that we could have stamped out most of the problems that we see, but did not. Now, whether the Lord kept us from it or whether we didn't do it, nonetheless, it hasn't happened. If you look at verse, well, let's go and read his prayer. We read the prayer from Jehoshaphat. Now, look at the answer. Because the Lord answered in verse 15. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You know, we have to remember the battle going on today, no matter what it may be, whether it's the nation, whether it's in your home, whether it's at your job, whether it's at school, we have to understand that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. And this is it was a true statement back then, and it is a true statement now. And he tells them, he said, tomorrow, verse 16, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. You see, we have to continue to press on no matter what. Go out against them really is the message of today, is to press on with what we're doing, continue to go out against them, because listen, we don't need to fear our enemy. Now, that's easier said than done sometimes. When I watch the news and when I hear people talk and when I go out into the stores and I look around and I'm like, are you kidding me? But we don't have to fear them. I want you to understand something, and I'm sure you do. The enemy is always going to be there. Always. As long as we're on the face of this earth, well, let me rephrase that. Well, no. That's true. Even through the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the enemy's there. He doesn't bother us. But it's always there in the heart of someone, because we know that to be true, because the devil is bound for 1,000 years, so he can't influence. But do you realize after the 1,000 years, the devil's loosed for just a little bit, and he gathers up people again to go against God? They were there with us through the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But there's not going to be a problem there. But the enemy is always going to be out there. The enemy is always going to be there to oppose you. He's always going to oppose us. And if he doesn't, something's wrong. If he's not opposing your lifestyle, if he's not opposing what you're doing in your life, then you're not doing what you ought to be doing. Because you see, the devil's not going to bother you if you're not doing it. The devil's not going to fool with a parent if a parent is not dealing with their child the way they ought to. The devil's not going to oppose you at a job if you're not doing what you ought to be doing. The devil's not going to oppose the church if they're not doing what they're supposed to. If they're just living it up, they're not going to get any opposition from the devil. Why would he waste his time? You don't have to. You see, the devil's strategy, though, for people like us who are trying to live right and trying to raise our family and trying to be the employee that we need to be, is to discourage you. That's the whole idea. He wants to discourage us. He wants to get you to back off of what you're doing. He wants to get you to join in. He wants to get you to compromise. Oh, my child wants to do this, my child wants to do that, and he wants you to compromise with them. Because the children need these things. You know, years ago, we were homeschooling. We started homeschooling. My youngest, she started out, kindergarten? And all we heard from parents, because it was relatively, in a sense, it was relatively new for people to do that. You know, they had been doing it for years anyway, but that was just that select group of crazy folk. And you got to be a little crazy to homeschool. You do. because everybody wants to shove their kid off, send them somewhere. But we started doing that. We got so much... Flack. That's the word. We got so much flack from people. Oh, your children's not going to know how to act in the world. What, I can't teach them that? I taught them how to talk. I taught them how to walk. I explained to them that you chew your food, not try to swallow whole pieces. It don't come out good. You know, I mean, we taught them all of these things, but then all of a sudden, the government had convinced us that you got to send them to school. You can't, you ain't smart enough. Well, anyway. So the devil tried to discourage us in what we were doing and tried to get us to back off and to compromise and join in. And that's what he does to people. He does that to churches. Well, let's see. We've got, I don't know how many here today, 20? We ought to have about 900. But we're not going to compromise. We're not going to say, come as you are and leave as you were. We're not going to say, hey, you can do whatever you want to do. You're okay. We're not going to say, hey, the world is all right like it is, because it ain't. But we're not going to do that. So he tries to discourage and get you to compromise. He'll tell you that you shouldn't be so different. I'm different. Amen? I am. I'm different. I'm odd. I'm a peculiar person. Did you know the Bible tells us that if we're saved and if we're living for the Lord, that we are a peculiar people? 1 Peter 2:9. He tells us. He said, you're a chosen generation. You're peculiar. That bothers people. They don't like folk that are peculiar. They don't like people that are odd. They don't like people that are different. You see, but the Lord said in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are. The Lord also said in 1 Peter 1:13-16 that we need to gird up the loins of our minds. In other words, we need to prepare for what is coming. Don't compromise. No joining in. Look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the... What's it say? Beauty of holiness. You know what holiness is? That's being different and odd and peculiar. It's separated from the rest of the world. There is a beauty in being separated from the rest of the world. We're not going to join in with the government. I don't care who's running it. We're not going to join in and agree with all them. Listen, I'll pick on the Democratic Party. They are evil. But let me pick on the Republican Party. They ain't no better. If it was, abortion would be illegal 100%. There is no reason to abort a child, murder a child. They like that word, abort. We're aborting a fetus. They like that word. Listen, there is no reason to. I don't care. They say, well, oh, rape or incest or the life of the mom. Okay, ask a mom, would they trade their life for their baby? They will. My wife would have given her life for her children. But they say, oh, well, we've got to protect the mom. That's hogwash. That's just evil. I'm going to be honest with you. Basically what it is, it's of the devil, and it's it's in the Bible, listed under an idol named Molech. They were casting them into the fire. Do we do any different? No. We snatch them from the protection of a womb in pieces. People get all bent out of shape about it. Listen, it ought to be plastered on billboards all over the place. But they don't want to do that. But we're never going to be able to agree with our government. And like I said, it doesn't matter who's the president. Really doesn't. Everybody's got this idea, Ron DeSantis is the man. Well, maybe he is. But does he agree with that? Or is he against abortion 100%? If he's not against abortion 100%, he is wrong. Just like Brother Larry said this morning, partial obedience ain't obedience. It's not. It's whole obedience, the whole nine yards. LGBTQ plus and whatever else they want to add in there. It's nothing more than Sodom and Gomorrah. They already had that. These guys were so sick they wanted to have sex with angels. It's like, what were you thinking? Oh, they weren't. Children given rights that if they're at school and they decide that they're a boy or they decide they're a girl and that's what they want to be, they can go in a lot of places straight to their counselor or whoever they're supposed to be wise, and they can get transitioned and the parents never know. They don't have to report it. You see, there's something wrong with that. We're never going to agree with the government. Listen, giving children these kind of rights and all of that junk is straight out of the pits of hell. It's evil, and we cannot compromise with that, no matter what they want to force on us, no matter how much military, no matter how much laws, whatever they come at us, we got to go out against it. Because remember, the battle ain't yours. The battle's the Lord's. Listen, they're fighting. They're stupid. They're fighting against God and ain't got a clue. They ain't going to beat God. But that's what they're doing. The United Methodist Church in Sherman, Texas, just a few days ago. Sherman, Texas is not a major metropolitan area. It's 44,000 people in an agriculture area. That's what surrounds Sherman. I have been through there. You go through Sherman, you go to Gainesville. If you turn up north, you'll end up in Ardmore, Oklahoma. All of this is farm-related area. Do you know what they did the other night and they got people protesting it? They had a family-friendly drag queen night at the church. Oh, no. A family-friendly drag queen. How in the world do you have a family-friendly drag queen night? We're going to have a family-friendly serial killer night. All y'all come out to serial killer. That's about how much sense it makes. It's like, huh? Apparently. No, they ain't reading the Bible, period. Listen. You can't. There's always going to be people who oppose the truth. They're going to oppose what we, Wagon Wheel, Lone Mountain, some other churches I could name, believe and teach. If they're a true church, they're always going to be against you. There are people that are always going to come down on us. Some of them might even be members. They really might be. They may be members. We've seen some come and go. Some will give into the world and they'll leave. Now, the Bible says about these folks in 1 John chapter 2, somewhere right in there, 19, that apparently they weren't of us or they wouldn't have left. Now, there's two meanings to that. Honestly, the way I read it, if they're not of you, they're either not saved, which, that's the one most people stick to. They're not saved, so they got out of the church. Because you know, we preach too hard. We study too hard. We want people to come to church. We want to tell people about Jesus. They don't want to hear that. After a while, it gets to where it bothers them, and they leave. But the other ones are the scary ones. They're saved. No doubt in my mind they will be in heaven. If they truly know Jesus, they will. But they cannot handle the truth of the Word of God. So they leave and they go somewhere that won't hammer on them so bad about what God says. They're the scary ones. You see, they're the ones that compromise. They're carnal believers, as Paul put it. They're fleshly. They just don't get it. They're babes in Christ, and they don't want to go any further, and they'll cause more trouble than not. You see, they get false peace. You see, you can get a false peace from Satan. Because what he'll do, he'll say, well, you need to compromise. But he doesn't put it that way. Oh, you should do this. Oh, and you get so much peace from it. It's a false peace. Really and true. You seen these hog rings that people wear in their nose now? It just tears me up. Why in the world would you want a ring right through here? I mean, you can't even pick your boogers. You know, there's this thing hanging out. What I think of when I see that and with the two balls right there hanging out is what would a 9-volt battery do if you went? You know, you just don't know how bad I'd love to do that. I saw a guy sleeping in the airport here a while back when I was traveling. He had a huge one hanging out. And they come out and they turned. And I thought, you know, how hard it is not to pull out a 9-volt battery and go, hello. Why is it? But I'm going to tell you what I picture when I see people that are giving in to all this stuff. They're being led around by Satan with a nose ring. Amen. Bulls. I knew a guy that had a bull. Man, his back was like that. His head would have been up here. 20-something hundred pounds. Lead him around like a little chihuahua because he had a nose ring. That's what Satan's doing to these people that claim to be saved. I mean, they'll argue with you. They claim to be saved, but they don't want to put up with the truth. Well, you guys just don't dress quite like we would like to. You guys don't require this and require that. Show me in the Bible if it says it's supposed to require it, and I'll require it. I've been to churches, by gosh, you're going to wear a white shirt, black tie, and a suit if you do anything in the church. It ain't biblical. But they want to require that stuff. And they want you to go along with it. Because if you don't, you ain't right. But hey, what it boils down to is when it comes to the biblical truths, they don't want to hear it. Oh, well, you guys preach that if you're not a member of the church, you shouldn't take of the Lord's Supper. Amen. Well, hello, it's biblical. That's the truth. Oh, you guys don't believe in believer baptism. No, I don't. I believe in scriptural baptism. You tell me you got believer's baptism, I'll just tell you, you got wet. That's about all you got. But, oh, well, we're not going to redo this. You ain't redoing nothing. You never got baptized to start with. It's got to be scriptural baptism or you're not where you're supposed to be with the Lord Jesus. And so they don't want to put up with that. You see, they want to believe the false teachings. Okay, all right. What are we to do? Because the enemy's all around us. The enemy's been within. And they oppose Christianity more and more. The Bible says in the last days, evil men will wax worse and worse. Yes, the things we see going on is going to get worse and worse. I've been going to Colorado for years. I lived in Colorado for 26 years. Both sides of the state. Just in the past 2 years, I have seen a change in that state that is really, really sickening. It's disgusting. I go out and I see them, all these activists, the LGBTQs and whatever else. But it's understandable. They got a queer for a governor. He's got his little husband or his wife or whatever you call him. They've got that running the entire state. And I used to think, well, not all of Colorado agreed with that, but I'm starting to lose the idea of that. Because when I first moved to Grand Junction, Colorado, it was just a kind of a cowboyish town, some oil field workers, and people were just normal, and yeah, you had some on the other side, and that's their problem. Now I see it's unreal. It has gotten out of hand. And I don't even feel right being there. It's a scary situation. What are we supposed to do with all that? And listen, it's worse than Nevada. Nevada, of all places, ought to be one of the worst states there is, but it's not. You got men in this state, believe it or not, and they don't mind being men. Now, we've got some every now and then I see, but nothing like going up to Colorado. It's crazy. Of course, it's all around us. What do we do? Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15 again. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Hearken, wagon wheel. That's the way we can look at it. And now, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. That's the important part. Thus saith the Lord unto us. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle, it ain't yours. It's God's battle. And he says, tomorrow go ye down against them. We're not to compromise. We're not to give in. We're not to change everything and set aside some of our differences. Oh, we shouldn't preach on Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, we shouldn't preach on S-I-N. I'm scared to say that, you know. No, we shouldn't preach on sin because that offends people. Ought not to preach on the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross because, well, that's offensive. You know, blood's offensive. Oh, it scares little Johnny. Ought not to preach about the cross because, listen, the cross was offensive. We ought to have a family-friendly drag queen night. Not. No. Take Christian out of the church name. Take missionary. Get rid of that. Get rid of Baptist. Just call it Wagon Wheel Church. Yeah, you're better off if you don't, if you want it. Listen, that is what is expected. But you see, we're not to be dismayed about that. We're not to have fear over that. He said, go up against them. In other words, in verse 17, stand ye still. We're to stand on what the Word of God says and continue pressing on just like we're going. That's really what we're to do. We're just to press on. Keep doing what the Lord says. It doesn't matter if it's your family that's against you. It doesn't matter if it's your neighbors that's against you. The government is against you. It does not matter. Listen, I would rather obey God than man. Avery. Dad, what did he said to Jimmy, why don't we just shoot these problems? Well, he is Jimmy's son, who is my son. You ever see, you know where you go to the fair and they got that little game set up and they got the little deals running across here and you shoot them? That'd be a good drag. Anyway. Now you know why Jimmy thinks that way. Listen, Jimmy told him the truth. He said, listen to me. He said, why you want to do that? He said, all you can do is put an end to them, period. You're done with them. God, on the other hand, can make life however he wants to for them. And when they leave this world, he's still in charge of what happens to them. You see, that's why it ain't our place to do that. We got to pray for them. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be up front. If you'll read Romans chapter 1, you'll understand that all of these type people are reprobates. God's done with them. And one day, they're going to leave this world. Bless their hearts in a meaningful way. Bless their hearts because they don't have a clue what suffering is. It's going to be a forever thing when they leave this world. This is the best they'll ever have. It's like a preacher I know. He said, listen. He said, if you're on that side of things, he said, live it up while you can. Enjoy it while you can. Because there's going to come a day when you leave this world that you're going to be like, oops. And it's too late then. You see, we got to continue doing what the Lord says. Because he says in this passage, for the Lord will be with you. You see, when we go against them, we're not going on our own. The Lord is with us. We are to continue pressing on, and the reason why is for the Lord's church, for the Lord's people, for these children. That's why we're to continue doing what we do for these children, to keep them from being devoured by the wolves, because they're all out there. And they are the wolf population in Colorado. pretty much annihilated years ago. Best thing to ever happen. They're introducing the wolves back into Montana, Wyoming, Colorado. Oh, and they got these little bleeding heart folk out there. Oh, isn't it so sweet? Yeah, until you get eaten by one that weighs 200 pounds. They have no idea what a wolf looks like. A wolf's paw is the size of my fist. A full-grown real wolf is about like that, and they weigh about 200 pounds, and they take down 400 and 500-pound calves, and they eat them. And the ranchers are having a fit because it's destroying everything. Listen, when we turn our kids out into the world, that's what we've done. No different than what they're doing. We just turn them out. Because they're teaching things that ain't right. And they're telling them, don't go home and tell nobody. Why do you think the pandemic worked so well for them? They had it all planned, shut schools down. Why? Because, oh, we're going to get them online because mom and dad's busy at work. And they've told them things online. And it changed from that day forward. It was a pretty good plan for them. You see, for the lost, that's why we do what we do, because they must be warned that there's a coming a day that's a judgment day. If we don't warn them, shame on us. But if we do warn them and they walk off, the blood's off our hands. You know, I understand Pilate. He says, no need to crucify Christ. He ain't done nothing. The blood be on us and on our children. Boy, Israel has no idea what they said. He stood there in a bucket of water and he said, I told you. He said, I'm clean of it. Now, he could have turned Jesus loose. They'd have killed him. But I want to know that I can say, your blood ain't on my hand. Because I've warned. I've told you, there's coming a day that's not good. That's our job. We got to continue pressing on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Let's have an invitation, Brother Roger. Let's all bow.